The hymn of invocation tonight is hymn 320. The order of service this evening is the order of Vespers, beginning on page 41. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The responsive psalm is as printed in your worship folder. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Let me hear joy and gladness. Hide your face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Please be seated for the lection. The lection this evening is written in the 23rd chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 26th verse. As they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breast that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breast. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Here ends the reading. We now sing our sermon hymn 458, stanzas 1 through 6, and stanza 9. Grace, mercy, and peace to you be from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Wednesday, your Lord Jesus taught you to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." These two words, "this day," that Jesus spoke, aren't just for any reason at all. Jesus intends for you to pray this prayer, His prayer, the Lord's Prayer, daily. And that means we daily find ourselves praying the petition which is our text tonight, "and forgive us our trespasses." Jesus teaches us by this petition that we sin daily, which we would not come to know by our own reason or strength. One of the dire symptoms of our corrupt human nature is that old Adam doesn't even feel his corruption. Without the Word of God, without the holy law of God, old Adam would end each day without even suspecting that he had committed any sin against God, any sin against his neighbor. Under such circumstances, our flesh becomes a proud flesh, an arrogant old Adam that exalts himself and looks down on others. A flesh which is not gracious to anyone, since old Adam sees no reason to be gracious to anyone. To correct this delusion, and yes, my brother and sister, it is a delusion, Jesus has taught us the fifth commandment and the fifth petition, our text tonight. Luther writes about this petition from the Large Catechism when he writes, "This should serve God's purpose, to break our pride and keep us humble." Jesus puts the plea for forgiveness in our mouths every day so that we might properly view our own good and that we will recognize that we need, that we have a need from Him. Without awareness of sin, you and I would recognize no need whatsoever of a Savior. We would not need a Jesus. The cross would be of no use for us. Yet, we are warned, dear brother and sister, your ignorance of sin is not an excuse to sin. Ignorance of sin will quickly lead you and me to boast in ourselves. Simply and appallingly put, this means that your faith and my faith is misplaced. You and I would then be worshiping a false god, ourselves, and then we will suffer rightly just punishment, eternal destruction. Therefore, throughout the Old Testament and also the New Testament, our Lord Jesus tells us just who we are. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, Solomon writes, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is good and never sins." St. John in his first letter writes for us, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Paul says essentially the same thing from Romans chapter 3. "None is righteous, no, not one. All have turned aside. Together, they become worthless. No one does good, not even one." And a little later, Paul ends this by saying that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Dearest one, even if you do not feel your sin, and by the way, if you don't feel sin, that is a problem in and of itself, at least believe what God says about you and about me. And then pray this fifth petition, admitting that you and I, each one of us, are so wretched that we don't even know our sins, which is what David writes in the psalm. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. As you and I pray this fifth petition, and as we pray it daily, even when you don't see the need for it, you will come to see the need for it because Jesus saw the need for it. And that's why he has taught us to pray and forgive us our trespasses. I pray that you now understand that this petition teaches you and me and all people that we sin daily and that we sin much, and that we surely deserve nothing but death, eternal death. Yet you may be surprised to know that this is not your Lord's main purpose in teaching us the fifth petition. Rather, his main purpose is this, that we are to pray, forgive us our trespasses, and that those trespasses be forgiven. Our trespasses are forgiven for Jesus' sake, which becomes clear when you understand that this prayer is rightly called the Lord's Prayer. And we say, Our Father, because we pray all these petitions with Jesus to his Father and our Father. Now, it's very easy for us to see Jesus praying, God's name be hallowed, that his kingdom come, that his will be done. It's wonderful to hear Jesus asking for daily bread and protection and temptation and deliverance from evil. But this makes no sense. It makes no sense for Jesus to pray and forgive us our trespasses. The hour of our trespasses is the very same word in the original language of our Father. Indeed, Jesus is including the hour of our Father, seeing that without Jesus, no one could call God Father. Yet now, hold on to your seats. Just as Jesus is included in the hour of our trespasses, and he is also including himself in our Father, we have to ask, how can this be? Now let's be very clear. Jesus did not commit sin, which is why Peter wrote for us, he committed no sin, neither was there deceit in his mouth. However, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is carrying trespasses for which he prays, forgive us our trespasses. It's just that we committed the trespasses. And he, and only he, is the one who by his grace bears those trespasses for you and for me, nailing our trespasses to his bloody cross, becoming the one, as we hear in the second book of Corinthians, that Jesus became sin, that he who knew no sin became sin for you, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus includes himself in forgive us our trespasses, for he is the one who takes our trespasses and dies for them. So we can summarize what we've heard tonight by considering the repentant thief. You just heard about the repentant thief in our readings. He was convicted of his sins. He knew that he deserved to die. More importantly, this thief realized that Jesus' suffering, which seemed and was out of place, by the way, was the suffering that forgave him all his sins, even though he also joined in railing against him, which we'll hear about on Sunday. This thief, though, wasn't so arrogant towards Jesus as was the other thief. No, this thief ultimately was convicted of his sins by the Holy Spirit, and then he throws himself on the mercy of Jesus, on his innocent, bitter suffering and death. And therefore, that's why he prays, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And that's why Jesus, his Lord and our Lord, answers him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This gives him, and it gives us, dear ones, the bold confidence to pray the fifth petition and forgive us our trespasses. So we now come to the appendix of the fifth petition, as we forgive those who trespass against us. There is so much that we could say about these words, but not tonight. Rather, let's wait until September the 13th. That seems like a long way away, but it'll be here. And on September the 13th, Sunday, September the 13th, we will hear of the parable of the unforgiving servant, the unmerciful servant, in Matthew chapter 18. Then we will talk about the appendix of this petition. Although, please allow me to emphasize just one point. Your forgiveness toward another is not based on God's forgiveness toward you. Rather, we forgive, dear one, the trespasses of others, and it is only because we do this, because God has forgiven us our trespasses here on the place called the skull. So tonight, as we now close, Jesus reveals our true nature, and in this petition, he humbles us. Then he graciously forgives us all our sin. No longer do we consider ourselves better than others, and we no longer desire the destruction of anyone. Having been crucified with Jesus in our baptism, we now can pray, "Father, forgive them," just as Jesus prayed from his cross, "Father, forgive them." Yes, dear one, your sin is forgiven. And your sin is forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King, to whom be glory forever and ever. And in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. And as we have been doing, our offering will be collected at the end, and the offering plates will remain at the usher's stand. We now go to our Lord in silent prayer. Please rise for prayer. Oh, Father, we pray you, for the sake of Jesus Christ and at his bidding, that you would not look upon our sins, nor on their account deny our prayers, which we now offer unto you. Oh, Father, we are unworthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, for we do sin daily and much, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. But graciously grant that we be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Father, we pray as did your servant David, that you will not hide your face from our sins and blot out all of our iniquities. Then, in accord with your gracious will, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. O God, you call us to turn from our sin and to live for you alone. Guide us through this season of Lent to a fuller appreciation of your baptismal grace. Lord, in your mercy. O God, all these we humbly ask in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Father, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. We now close with our closing hymn, hymn 146.